Hey everyone, it's Jeremy Parrish again here to introduce our latest bi-weekly patron-exclusive episode. This time, we field a patron request to talk about video game manuals. Now, that's a challenging topic for a non-visual medium like a podcast. So to help me out, I've recruited Jason Wilson, Frank Cifaldi, and Nadia Oxford, not only to talk about the impact and importance and role of manuals in classic video games, but also how just having access to them and reading them in the car on the way home and so on and so forth helped feed the classic game experience that made us love the medium. This episode is available exclusively to our patrons who support us at the $5 a month level or higher, but supporting us there gets you more than just bi-weekly podcasts. You also get exclusive access to This Week in Retro columns by Diamond Fight, which are accompanied by a mini-podcast each weekend, as well as Discord access, and just a general sense of feeling good about yourself. Now, you may not know if this is the right financial investment for you, and we understand the regular Monday episodes are always going to be free. But for those of you who want the exclusive goodies, you can head over to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 a month level or higher. And if you're sitting on the fence, well, just listen to this excerpt from the manuals episode and decide for yourself if Retronauts is right for you. It is. Patreon.com/Retronauts. So you've got that printed on letter-sized paper, two pages per sheet, but I don't think that's actual resolution.
Yeah, this is larger.
Actual resolution. These things were like pocket guides.
Yeah, that's like the large print Bible version of the Intellivision
baseball.
But what
was interesting about these was you got not only the manuals, but how to put in the insert and where the insert was over everything.
Right. Oh, that controller.
Yeah,
the controller. The ColecoVision.
Yeah, the controller that, you know, killed hands.
Well, and also I think the insert in itself was kind of like a manual.
In a way.
Yeah.
In a way. And so that's what I always thought was really neat about Nintendo, television manuals. Now, they were small. They didn't have much story in them. They didn't have much anything besides this is how it goes in. This is what this does. This is what this button does. This is how you put the overlay in and stuff like that. But, you know, this is a game from, I think, 81. So maybe even a little earlier. So, you know, there wasn't much in manual writing at that point. And one of the first beefy manuals I ever remember, and this is, again, another printout, is the Ultima manual.
Yeah.
Because this was Richard Garriott's, and this was, you know, after his a Calibeth game, which was sold in little baggies that he kind of assembled himself. And so it had lots of art and story and writing in it. Mm-hmm. And it was very different than what you would get with an Atari and a television manual in those days. You didn't get much of this kind of stuff. Not even in the AD&D games on the Intellivision.
Well, this is for grown-ups, okay? Not for them whippersnappers with their televisions.
Yeah, but
whippersnappers with their Nintendo.
There are a lot of kids who play Ultima, too. Well,
sure.
So
but they thought they were adults.
Yeah. It's just such a different thing when you look at, you know, these are the same era, just about. And this was before, you know, you've got all kinds of things like copy protection.
Right.
In manuals with PC games and stuff like that. So it's a little earlier than that, but it was very personalized with some PC games. Other PC games at this time were just, you know, oh, it's just the basics. This is how you move. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. But in those very early days, you know, some people like Garyo went out and made them very personal.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at the history of video games in the 1970s, there wasn't really much cause for people to need manuals because you had either very simple arcade style experiences. So you got those Intellivision style manuals where it was basically like, here's how you move your tank around. Here's how you shoot, you know, the cannon on your tank. Here's what will happen when you shoot the cannon on your tank. Here's the scoring system. Or else, you know, the really complex games, things like precursors to Ultima or precursors to Infocom games, those were made kind of at an institutional level for people who, you know, they weren't commercial releases at that point. They were made kind of in collaboration with academic people, you know, in colleges, and they all just kind of contributed to the games as much as played them. And there was this sense of discovery, like sit down and figure stuff out. It wasn't until gaming really kind of went commercial in the end of the 70s that there was the need to say, like, here's how you play this. And it wasn't until, you know, these more adventurous games came out, these more expansive games like Ultima, and Infocom's games that there was a need to say, here's why you're doing all this stuff. Because, you know, there wasn't a lot you could say within the game itself when your game was 64 kilobytes.
What's really interesting about the Intellivision manuals, and you might have to correct me here versus Atari, is you can see that Intellivision has a style book for how they wanted all their manuals designed. And they followed them. They didn't necessarily use the same fonts all the time, but they had the same layout and progress, and this is where you put in the insert sheet, and this is how you use the arrows to put in the insert sheet.
Well, that's because no third parties were making Intellivision games. I mean, a couple were, but, you know, it was mostly Mattel controlled, whereas Atari had... had people making games without their dang permission over at Activision over there. But I want to go back to the 70s stuff and say that, you know, that if we're talking the earliest home games, those manuals were essentially like, here's how you hook Pong up to the TV, right?
Here's how you install on your Apple II.
Right, exactly. But also, like, if we're talking 70s computer games, those would mostly be type-in programs, right? So, like, you might have... you know, David All's 101 Basic Computer Games book or you know, even Issues of Creative Computing or something. And there would be some sense of instructions, but it'd be more like a description of what the game is that you're about to type in, what it's actually going to be like. And it'd just be, you know, very basic, no pun intended, because basic is the programming language. It's like Space Invaders, but you're not a ship, you're a car. You know?
Right. Even if you look at a lot of these early 80s manuals, like the Intellivision manuals that Jason showed, a lot of those are not so much like, here is how you play the game, here's how the game works. It's more like, here's how you interact with the game.
Yeah.
Because controls had not consolidated. There was no single rubric for, this is how interface works. We hadn't gotten to, like, the D-pad plus A button jumps and B button does another thing. So it was much more about, like, you've got all these commands here, all these different buttons. You need to know what these are actually going to do. And then, you know, with baseball, I think something like that, they kind of relied on the fact that this is a video game adaptation of a real world sport. So they could, you know, kind of lean on the fact that you sort of knew how baseball worked. Well, and it's really more of a question of like, what do the buttons actually do?
So I'm gonna jump in here and actually say that the manual for baseball, which I'm looking at right now, right on the cover, I'm just gonna read it. Baseball, traditional game of the United States, is similar to cricket and rounders.
did George Plimpton write this?
And also, it's copyright 1979, so we are in the 70s.
All right.
We are on topic here. The playing
Bring
field
out the wood paneling.
Called the diamond is laid out with three canvas bags called bases and a rubber slab set. So it's like, it's actually telling you what baseball is.
Yeah, there's your instructions.
So
we got to fill these words.
I guess
somehow.
I'm wrong. This really started from zero.
At least in this case, right? I doubt if you go get like real sports baseball or something for the Atari. I doubt Atari's explaining what the sport of baseball
is. Baseball.
But yeah, you have to read that in George Plimpton's voice.
Yeah, I don't remember his voice.
Baseball. A traditional game of the United States is similar to cricket and rounders. That sort of New England accent. Yep.
My only frame of reference for George Plimpton is the Intellivision commercials, yeah, right. And that's what those sound like. So, good job.